Oh, we all need someone, church. We all need someone. We're going to talk about healing this morning, and then we're going to pray together before service ends. I feel like that God wants to do something special this morning in our lives to really bring some healing. Austin says we all got a story, and we've all got things we can share. We've all been places and done things. We've all got our own journey. We've all got our own organs in Pennsylvania's and New York's. All of us have those stories. And what the one common denominator is this, that Jesus fixes it all. No matter where we've been, how far we've been, how deep we've been, how dark we've been, Jesus can fix it all. From addiction to cancer to rebellion to fear, whatever the issue is, He can fix it. We're going to read in Isaiah, just three verses this morning. Three verses, Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. This is the prophet Isaiah, and he is speaking, of course, of the coming Messiah and the work that Jesus would do. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." Good tidings. Let's think about this. When we're in the house of God, it should be good news, not bad news. And the good news is that we have been redeemed from the curse of death and hell through the blood of Jesus. That's good news. The good news is we no longer are lost, but through Him we are now found. We're no longer alone, but we are now have a friend. We're no longer will be separated from Him forever, but we will now be with Him forever. And that's good news. Good news is this, that what He came to do meant that He went to prepare that place for me, that where He would be, I would be also. So that gives me great hope. I'm not going to be separated from God no matter what happens. Life is hard. Life can stink. Life can throw some rotten eggs that don't seem fair. I mean, life can all of a sudden change with one phone call, with one doctor visit, with one Dear John note, with one car accident. I mean, things in our lives can change. But the good news is this. Jesus, through our storms, will remain faithful. Jesus, through our trials, will not leave us. Jesus, through our darkest times, will shine the brightest light, giving us the strength we need to face every giant that stands before us, and not just face it, but overcome it. And it happens through the power of God. It doesn't happen through religion. It doesn't happen through spirituality. It happens through the strength of God. It happens through His Holy Spirit empowering us to overcome everything that stands before us. The Bible says, if God be for us, who or what can be against us? If God is on our side, who can separate us? If God has not condemned us, who can condemn us? If God has justified us, who can unjustify us? See, the work Christ did isn't about to happen. It's not going to happen. It's already happened. It's already a done deal. Our sin has been paid in full through Calvary. We don't have to walk around carrying guilt and shame every day of our lives. As Manley sung that song, He loved me through my failures. He loved me through my mistakes. He saw the futility of my weaknesses, and yet He loved me. See, God is not like man. God is not like a preacher in a pulpit, or not like a church member at Walmart peering around the corner judging you. God's not like that. God died for all humanity, for every race, every color, every creed, every language, every tribe, every background, from the person in the gutter to the one born with a silver spoon in their mouth, for the rich and for the poor, for the sick and for the strong, for those in fear and those full of peace. God died for humanity. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and His name shall be Emmanuel. He shall take the sins away from the people. That's what the good news is. That's great tidings of great joy. It was more than a baby being born in Bethlehem. It was a redemptive plan. It was my debt being canceled, my appointment with death being out of the way, hell no longer a part of my life. God took care of that with one atoning blood, with one sacrifice. That's what God did for me. And that's good news. And that's why we as Christians ought to be happy, happy, happy all the time. And we can be happy without medication. I'm talking about happy in the Spirit of God, happy in the joy of the Lord. We don't need a bottle or a pill to make us happy, church. When we have Jesus, we know who we are. We know where we're going. We know who we belong to. We know who our daddy is. We are his child, and he will not forsake us. As Teresa says, our Heavenly Father won't call us and say, I'm not coming home. Our Heavenly Father comes home day after day after day, moment by moment, second by second, week by week, and year by year. He is faithful. He's a constant provider of our needs. So that's one thing he came to do, to bring great tidings. He has sent me to preach, to bind up the brokenhearted. We heard that. To bind up the brokenhearted. There is nothing worse than a broken heart. When your heart is broken, you lose hope. You lose peace. You lose joy. You don't want to get out of bed. You don't want to face life. You don't want to go to work. It causes you not to even function properly. When you are brokenhearted, you can't function in life. And Jesus came to heal that brokenness. I don't mean it for it to sound cliche, but there's things only God can do. And that's one thing only God can do, is heal the brokenhearted. We can have words of encouragement. We can have words of peace. When someone passed away, I've done many, many funerals, and of course I try to comfort the family, but I realize my words are just pretty much probably falling to the ground at the moment. But what happens is God shows up, takes those words, and then puts them in their hearts, and he takes the burden off. God heals our brokenness. Brokenness is something that can't be fixed with medication or a vice or a habit. Because what happens is when all that wears off, the brokenness is still there. But what Jesus came to do was tell us, don't be brokenhearted no more. Don't worry no more. Don't be in fear no more. Because what I've done for you, I've done once and for all, and I've done forever. And you are now my child forever. And you are my arms forever. And no man can pluck you out of my hands forever. That's what he came to do, to fix us. Man, God fixes us. He changes our lives. Teresa knew the exact date and time and day of the week when she knelt down and gave her heart to Jesus. It made such an impact in her life, such a transformation in her life, that she's not forgotten that day. What day was it that God changed you? What day was it where you really got the peace you needed to press through and never look back? See, we're great about getting a moment of joy and a moment of peace, but then things come into our lives. And that old thief comes and robs us of that peace and robs that joy. Don't let the devil rob you of what God has already fixed for you. If God has fixed your brokenness, don't let the devil make you broke no more. Don't let him break you no more. Teresa said this morning in the car, I went out to meet her and I was talking, and she said, I was praying, Satan, get behind me. He tried to discourage me, and I spoke to him and rebuked him and told him to get behind me. I'm pressing forward. We have to do that sometimes, church. We have to just stand up and press forward, whether we feel like it or not, and keep moving on. Brokenheartedness is something that many people are suffering, and only Jesus can fix it. He came. He's going to come to proclaim liberty to the captives. We know what liberty means. Freedom. Man, we're captive by our thinking. We're captive by our sins. We're captive thinking that we have to do all of this stuff to meet God's approval. If any of you can ever get a list together that you think would really meet Almighty God's approval, please email that to me. If you really think there's a list out there, if we do this, Pastor, we'll please God. I will find a hole in your argument, I promise. We can't. The Bible says in Hebrews, it is impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we please God by faith in him, not faith in ourselves. And so many are still captive, thinking that they've not done enough, that they're not worthy enough, that they're still dirty, and God wouldn't use them, and God couldn't love them. And we even think this, that God is mad at us and punishing us because we've not always done right. Let's talk about something for a minute. This isn't preached on much. God created us. God has all foreknowledge. We all, I think, agree with that. God has all foreknowledge. God knows our makeup. The Bible says he knows the intents of our heart. He knows our thoughts. We're not pretending with God. We can dress up in the fanciest suit and we can put so much shine on our hair we're having an oil change. And we can have all the, you know, we can doll up with our glass slipper shoes and our gold chains and we can just look pretty before God. And we can really dress the outside package up to look right. But God still knows what's on the inside. And I don't care who we are, we all have bad thoughts, wrong thoughts, wrong attitudes, run our mouth too much, speak wrong things, mistreat our wives or husbands or children or preacher. We all have issues, and God already knows that. So think about this. If God made us, God knew we would fall to sin. He had foreknowledge of that. He knew. God knows our makeup. God knows our failures. The emotions that we have are by who? Yeah, God, right? Anger, love, frustrations. I mean, we're an emotional creation created by God. And as human beings, we have these emotions that rage. When a police officer is chasing someone on foot or in a car and they're breaking the law and they're running wild and they're trying to catch them and that adrenaline is racing up. If any of you were a cop and you couldn't catch them, wouldn't you be mad when you caught them? I'm just saying, emotions rise up. And God knows that. He knows that. So if he knows that, then why would he not love us through that? Why would he be mad at us? Why is he going to be mad at Chuck for getting mad when God made Chuck? Yeah, but God didn't make Chuck to be, he's born in sin. He didn't make Chuck no holy angel. Am I right, Jewel? Amen to that. He's born in sin. And so when Chuck gets mad, or Chuck makes a mistake, or Chuck snaps off at his wife, or Chuck tells a doctor she's pretty, when Chuck does those things, God already knows that. And it was a woman doctor, so y'all know. I mean, we are equal opportunity employer here, but I'm just disclaiming that. It was a girl doctor. Lord help them. I rebuke that lust in the name of Jesus. And see, I was thinking it. I just didn't say it. Because I was on pastor duty. So God knew my mind. God's like, James, might as well say it. You think she's pretty? But I can't, God. I got to pray for Chuck. I got to be holy right here. You know, I got to take his hand and be the man of God, the man of the cloth. We all have that. And God made us. But we let the devil keep us bound to those things and reminding us of how far short we are the glory of God. And yes, church, none of us in our own right could stand before a holy God. But because he who knew no sin became sin, we now are, right now, the righteousness of God through him. And that's why we got to tell the devil where he belongs. And that's where persecution comes. Because, man, religious folks don't like it. Now, Pastor, are you Shana? Now, we gotta toe that line, brother. Got to toe that line. Jesus done towed the line, done pulled the line, done snapped the line, done completed the line. It's over, church. The work is finished. He said on the cross, it is finished, which translates in the debt is paid. Paid in full is what that means. Paid in full. You mean I dare to say this. I don't owe God nothing. Let's do it in two answers, okay? Number one is, no, but number two is we serve him. Yes, we serve him. We serve God. We love God because of who he is. But no, church, we don't owe God. He paid the price. We are debt free because of the cross. That's why it's so powerful, and that's why there's so much persecution against it, because every time there's an image of the cross, it's a constant reminder that he has set the captives free. Hallelujah. We are free. The Red Sea can't drown us. Pharaoh's army can't stop us. Goliath can't slay us. The lions can't eat us. Do you understand? We are free and set free forevermore because of Jesus Christ. We're free. Hallelujah. About to preach my own self happy. The opening of the prison to the bound. He's going to open up what kept us locked in. And I'm not going to be bound to religion. I'm not going to be bound to the law. I'm not going to be bound to other people. I love what Melanie said. And I felt a little spirit in here. She said that. So I want to clarify this. Melanie wasn't saying it's all about me and I don't care what y'all think. It wasn't an attitude she had. What she was saying is she's beyond the point of letting other people put her in a box. We should all be there, church. We should all be the place that we don't let other people define us and keep us in a box. I know there are religious folks that think I'm not even saved because I preach grace. I can see it on their face. I'll go to Walmart and they're still in old-time, bound-up law religion. And they probably don't even think I'm even saved or preaching truth. That don't bother me. It used to. It don't anymore. I'm not going to let that spirit pull me down. Jesus has set me free. What good news is it to say Jesus loves you, but you still might go to hell? That ain't good news. Good news is Jesus loves me, and you'll never go to hell. That's what good news is, church. That's the great tidings of the Lord Jesus. So I'm not going to let that pull me back down. They're going to judge you like you said. They're going to, I seen a whole argument on Facebook. I'm not going to call a name. You may have seen this. Nobody here at church, but one of my friends I went to school with. Whole argument about dress code at church. And here's the thing. I understand, church. I don't want none of y'all coming in no two pieces. Okay? Except that doctor. I don't want none of y'all coming in no two pieces. But here's the deal. There was a whole argument that was stirred up on Facebook because this person's mentality is, and I understand it. I promise I'm not debunking it, but I'm saying, where's the real focus? The old saying is, you got to pick your battles, right? When you're raising kids, you pick your battles, because if you don't, you're arguing every day, every hour until they're 18. So you got to pick your battles. Which ones are worth arguing about? Okay, I'll let that go. Big deal. There'll be a bigger one come up, so I'll save it for that. Dress code. Whole argument saying, I just believe that we should look our best for God because it shows that we da-da-da-da. And I'm sitting there, well, I understand, but God is not just here on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or revival week. Do you wear dress and makeup and high heels to work? Do you mow the grass in your dress and nice lady's hat and with your white gloves? I got to look good for God. God's with you everywhere, not just church. That's what I'm saying. We've got to get out of the box, and we're discouraging people from finding Jesus because we can't get past what they wear to church, how they look on the outside. Remember what John the Baptist wore? He wouldn't be accepted at our church at all. I mean, our church he would, but he wouldn't in most churches. John the Baptist, they say he wore like a caveman. He's going around preaching. Elijah, remember, just like garbs over them and sandals. And imagine if the old apostles walked in our, we got talking about men in skirts and sandals, no ties. Who said a suit jacket and tie is proper in church? They didn't have it 2,000 years ago. We've got to get back to what's important, pointing people to Jesus. If we can't get past, I ran into a retired pastor, he's in his 80s now, and I know it's his generation, I get that. He's retired. He went to a church service, and I ran to him in a parking lot food line one day. I was went in to get something, and he was there, and we got talking. He said, man, pray for me. I'm struggling with something, brother. I've been pastoring 50-some years, and I'm retired now. But said, I went to a church service, Baptist church here in Statesville, and he said, I'm sitting there trying to listen to the preacher, and there's this guy beside me, and he's in Bermuda shorts, and that's all I could look at, man. That bothered me. I don't think that's right. What do you think, brother? Oh, boy. He didn't want to know what I thought. I try to be real graceful. I'm like, man, that don't affect him and God wearing Bermuda shorts sitting beside you. This is a retired pastor. He couldn't even enjoy the service because the guy beside him sitting in shorts. Who, and I don't cuss, cares? It just don't matter. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is your focus, not the brokenhearted, not the ones in prison, not the ones that are drug addicts and alcoholics that need a delivering hand of God, not the ones that are rebellious, going through divorce, going through a lost, rebellious child. You're focused on Bermuda shorts. It drove me crazy. And church, I'm not discounting that. I understand that I usually dress up, and I think women are pretty in dresses, and men dress up are fine, but that's not the focus point. You go with God everywhere, not just here. We are the tabernacle of God, so that argument don't wash. Because if it did, the person arguing about looking their best would look that way 24-7. Because God's with me. They go to bed with their husband. Honey, what you doing? You know, full dress and hose and heels. Yeah, I got to look best for God. I mean, really, that argument don't wash. So anyway, that's enough of my soapbox. Now the next verse. Verse 2. He's going to come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance to our God, to comfort all that mourn. We don't have to mourn no more. We don't have to weep no more. Because the sorrow is past and now joy has come. David longed for that day. Lord, there's got to be a day of redemption. There's something more than this. I know, God, I won't be left in corruption. I know I won't be left. There's something better to come. And David didn't live to see it, but it did come. It came long after David passed away to where he didn't have to mourn anymore. Verse 3. To appoint to them that mourn in Zion. Here's the key verse. I want you to look at this. I sent this verse to a guy yesterday, actually. He's going through a battle. I sent this verse to him. To appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. Oh, beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, that the Lord may be glorified. This is what God wants to do. Take off the heaviness and give us a garment of praise. Pastor, I don't have nothing to praise God about. Oh, but yes, you do. Yes, you do. Read the news. Watch the news. You're not in that story. Yes, you got something to praise God for. I think about even my age, how many people haven't even lived as old as I have, or people my age that have all kinds of health problems and health conditions. I think about my kids are safe and alive. I got a wonderful wife. I got a home to live in. I got food to eat, and I got shoes on my feet, and I got clothes on my back. I got breath in my body. My mind's still pretty sound most days. I've got a lot to be thankful for. In church, we got something to praise God for. We woke up this morning, not in the hospital, not in prison, not in a coma. Why could you can't wake up in a coma? But you know what I mean? When we woke up this morning and got something to give God praise for. He wants to take your ashes and make them beautiful again. Take the marred clay and mold it into something beautiful again. And I love what Teresa did this morning, saying, I want to publicly, in front of the church, rededicate and have a new start with my walk with God today. And church, I know that there is brokenness in this place that we need lifted off of us. Grief, heaviness, anger. You know what? There's some of you in here that may be angry at God. And the religious folks will be like, oh my gosh, you can't be that. Look, God knows how you feel. God is not going to strike you down dead because you say you're mad at him. Understand this. God made us. God created us. It ain't like if you say something to God out of line, he's like, oh, didn't see that coming. He knows. He knows life is hard for us. You know, we all have our storms. My own family has been under attack. We all have our storms. Y'all know some of my story, my family, and things we're dealing with. And, you know, it doesn't seem fair. Life doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem fair that my wife at such a young age has chronic pain every day. Doesn't seem fair. Good woman, good lady. It's a good child. In the natural sense, don't deserve the pain she suffers through. Don't deserve it. Things happen. But God is still good and God is still faithful, and he's wanting us to rely on his strength to get us through every single day. And he can. And I've been so burdened the last, I don't know, week or two with just, and it's not that I even know a lot. I mean, some people I know what's going on, but I just feel I've been burdened. Just there's so many people in pain right now. I'm talking about all kinds of pain. And we weren't meant to bear that pain. As Dee sings that song, you weren't meant to carry your burden alone. In fact, pull that song up for her. I want her to sing that. Would you mind singing that at the end for us? We'll do that. We'll say that for the end, that song. We weren't meant to carry that burden. God said, cast your burdens on me. That sounds good, don't it? Here's what it means. Live like a teenager. Blame everybody but yourself. Just give it to God. Cast it to him. Take no responsibility. That's hard for us to do, to give it to the Lord. But we're going to pray this morning. And I'm going to do a song. Deal to come up a little bit later. I want to do it toward the end. But I got a song that the Lord put on my heart that I'm going to do. It's called The Altar. As I sing this song, church, I want you to, if there's any brokenness, there's power in the Holy Spirit, enough power, I promise, to get you through what you're facing. Whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual, whatever it is, the power of the Holy Spirit is enough to give you today what you need to face today. And walk out of this sanctuary with peace of mind, knowing I've given it to the Lord. I'm going to open up the altar. And hang on just a minute. Here it is. I want to sing this song. I come across this song. It's an older song, but it's a very beautiful song. I want you to listen to the words of it. And as I sing this song, the altar is open. If you feel led to come up. And I want you to stay, if you would, if the song is over, because I want to pray over everyone up here this morning. Pray. Whatever the healing you need, whatever type of healing you need, I want to pray this morning over you. Just as an act of faith, just as a confirmation, just to bring us together in unity, that we pray together as a church family. Because all of us are going through something. And I'm burdened for that. And I'm sad for that. And I don't want you to be sad. I don't want you to be burdened. I want you to have the victory in every day. So sing this song. You want prayer, just come up here. You can kneel. You can stand. And just, if you would, just wait together so we can pray together. And just worship and just talk to God. And then at the end of the song, we'll pray together. It's called The Altar.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Service is nearing the end. The choir is singing, just as I am. And now, as the old song is played, people at the altar are kneeling down to pray. Some are finding mercy, forgiveness for their sins. Some are fighting battles, oh, they're struggling to win. The time has come to give them to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for. You don't have to carry those burdens anymore. There's a light in the darkness. Oh, there's a love that's true. Jesus is waiting, my friend. He's waiting here for you. Come quickly now before they close the door. That's what this altar is for. A father is praying with his son. Mother kneels beside them, thanking God they've come. A man is standing there in tears, giving up a part of him he's held back for years. Hearts are being broken, oh, and lives are being changed. Those that call upon him now, oh, you'll never be the same. Time has come to give it to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for. You don't have to carry your burdens anymore. There's a light in the darkness. Oh, there's a love that's so true. Jesus is waiting. Oh, he's waiting right now for you. The time has come to give it to the Lord. That's what this altar is for. That's what this altar is for. Lord, we give it up to you right now. This altar. Thank you, Jesus. Take the hand of someone next to you up there at the altar. Y'all join hands. You can let that play real low. That's fine, Jeremy. Let it roll low. Father, we stand at this altar in your presence. We're not playing games. It's not about religion. God, we need fixed. We need hope. We need joy. We need peace. The devil's trying to break and trying to separate and trying to divide homes and children and minds and thoughts, trying to disrupt and derail our path from you. And we rebuke that and we speak against that right now. And we speak healing. We speak breakthrough. We speak peace and we speak love. God, clean our own hearts out and our own minds out that we can see you and hear you clearly. Lord, let us be what you want us to be today. Let us hear your voice. Let us know once again that you love us, that you've not left us. Though we feel lonely, we feel abandoned maybe, we feel, where have you gone, God, and why am I going through this? God, speak to us. Peace. Let our ashes today become beauty again. Lift off this heaviness and fill us with praise. Praise in our spirits. Praise in our hearts. Praise in our minds. We need fixed, God. We need hope. We need repaired. We are damaged. We are broken. We are weak. We are lost. And we need you, God. We need you to strengthen us. And I pray your Holy Spirit will fill this altar. Let your aroma of glory fill this sanctuary in the name of Jesus. And let your power infuse that which has been weakened and strengthen us and raise us back up into your glory in the name of Jesus. We declare this. We pray this. Let your love be a sweet odor of perfume. That, God, we leave here knowing we are as much yours right now as we ever have been. That, God, you're not looking at us with anger. You're not looking at us with judgment. But, God, you're looking at us with love and grace and forgiveness. As we look in the mirror at ourselves, let us see your hand of work, your creative work, God. You made us, you formed us, you called us, you breathed into us. You took our place, and we don't have to be broken no more. We thank you, God, that we can be healed right now. Healing. I pray for healing. Just worship him in church at the altar. Just worship him and just allow his healing to come in right now and fill your hearts. We receive that healing. We receive that healing. God, we receive your healing power, your healing hand of mercy. We receive healing to fix the brokenness. We receive healing to cast out all the dark shadows and to infuse your light again, your light of love and your light of peace and your light of strength in the name of Jesus. We want to be repaired and we receive that healing in our lives in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. Amen. Amen. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for your presence that never fails us. God, the more honest we can be with you and each other, the more healing we can receive. Lord, let us talk to you like we do our doctor. Let us just come to you and confess that you can bring the healing needed to our lives. Let us not carry it on our own or keep it inside, but God, let us talk to you. And let your Holy Spirit do the work. We are grateful, God, that you are still the healer. We are thankful, God, that you are still the peace giver. We are thankful, God, that you still tell the storm to be calm and it still calms. We are thankful you're still the giant slayer. We are thankful you're still our deliverer, our protector, our provider, our Emmanuel, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, our Rose of Sharon, our peace. God, we are thankful that you are the great I am, the I am whatever we need now. You are. You are that I am. You are our cancer healer. You are our child saver. You are our marriage restorer. You are our counselor. You are our healer in every way. And we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Tim, can I pray with you, brother? I'm not going to share anything with the church, but I want to pray for Tim. He needs a specific need met. And we're going to believe right now this need is going to be met. You are the healer. And God, you are bigger than the attack upon Tim's life right now. And God, we pray that you do a work, a supernatural manifestation in the life of this person. That Tim receives the healing that he needs in his life. That you cover him, and from this moment on, a new work is being done, and that you, God, are taking out that which is wrong, and you are bringing that which is right. That you, God, get the glory. That you get the glory in the name of Jesus. We pray for healing upon Tim Dillard's life. In the name of Jesus, we declare it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Y'all hug each other before you sit down and love each other and just encourage each other. Then you can hang out up here if you're up to it and sing that song for us. That would be great. You know what a puzzle really is? A puzzle is a bunch of broken pieces, isn't it? But when they're all put together, what does it form? Beautiful picture. We are the broken pieces that when we form to each other as a family and let God shape us and put us together, we form a beautiful picture. We'll have Dia sing the song and then we'll do our offering after she sings, but I just want her to do this song. You don't have to carry your burdens anymore if you got your words. Fine. So you're doing it, you got on your phone? Okay. Great. Listen to this song. It's a beautiful song. Just take this with you when you leave today.
Thank you.
Each other, church. Don't forget that. We have each other. Reach out to each other. Use each other. We all need each other. Ushers, come on up this morning and receive our offering, tithes and offerings. Just to update you, we are going to start up an adult Sunday school class. We'll have more information as time approaches, but we're looking to kick it off in September. It's called Back to Sunday School. So we're excited about that. I have more details later, but we're planning on kicking it off in September. This will be for any age adult, really over 18, from 18 to Doc's age. I mean, we go old. So we'll start with that and see where it leads. And some of you older folks don't want to be in there. The younger folks might do something else there. We'll see. But we'll start out with one big adult group and see where that goes. But we're excited about that. That's gonna be nice. Hopefully, it'll grow y'all a little closer too, to have a more of a small group setting with some of the adults to get to know each other and love each other in that way as well. Father, we thank you for the morning service. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you, God, for your truth. We thank you that you always show up in our lives, and we thank you that you're the one constant that is faithful and remains. No matter what else we lose in life, we don't lose you. And God, we're so thankful for that. We ask that you bless this offering and these tithes and this seed that we're planting today, that you use it to bless your kingdom and to bless this local body. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.